Hello, I'm Bex and welcome to the Week Junior Show. Today I'm joined by three of the team from the Week Junior, the magazine making sense of the world for 8 to 14 year olds. We've got writers Flora.
Hello.
And Michael.
Hello.
Plus assistant editor of the Week Junior's monthly Science and Nature magazine, Kieran.
Hello.
This week we'll be talking about Christmas, an ice age discovery, and one of the planet's most talented footballers. Plus, we'll have a debate all about world leaders, and we'll even hear from England football manager Gareth Southgate. So before all of that, seeing as we'll be talking about football, what is everyone's favourite sporting moment? This is the heavy hitters, the big kind of arena moments. Flora, what have you gone for?
I'm going to start us off with, I'm going to take you back to 1999, when probably some of our listeners were not alive, to the Fordham Primary skipping race, in which Flora Neville outstripped the rest of Year 4 so comfortably that the others couldn't even, there wasn't even a chance, they had no chance, no competition. I had my rope and I was off. And I might add that I had had no training in skipping. It was just natural talent.
All right, well, that is a personal sporting moment and I'm here for it, Flora. Michael, can you top that?
No, I was going to say, I don't think anything can top that. I've cheated a little bit and gone for two moments which are tied for me, both to do with football. So the first is when England beat Colombia on penalties at the 2018 World Cup, which was the first time England had won a penalty shootout for forever. And then when the club I support, Tottenham, reached the Champions League final for the very first time. We were 2-0 down at half-time. We needed to score three goals in the second half to go through. And we scored the third and final goal to complete the comeback with pretty much the last kick of the game. So those two moments, I think, are the most I've ever celebrated anything to do with sport.
And can you describe your feeling to me as Tottenham went through?
It was sort of a mixture of, I think I screamed, took off the Tottenham top I was wearing, jumped on top of my dad, and then started to cry a little bit and thought, no, this isn't happening, I'm imagining this. And then was just kind of silent for a while, trying to take it all in.
Quite a real feel-good moment for Michael there. Kieran, did you have the same reaction to your sporting moment?
I don't think I did, but what I enjoy about sport is seeing other people react. So I would have loved to be in the room to see Michael react to that, because I'm not particularly invested in the sports themselves. And if I'm attending something, I'm watching the crowd, seeing how everyone's interacting. And I can remember watching it back in 2013, Andy Murray winning Wimbledon for the first time. And I just remember all these shots on the TV of the crowd going absolutely wild. Everyone was feeling very emotional. He was feeling very emotional. And I just love how sport can do that.
That is an excellent one. Yeah, I remember that as well. That's one of those moments that kind of brought everybody together. I have gone for a kind of similar vibe. Super Saturday of the 2012 Olympics, when Team GB just won loads of stuff in one go, including my favourite Mo Farah, and it just felt like everybody in the whole country was celebrating. It was amazing. Kind of similar to you and your Andy Murray moment, Kieran.
Yeah, I love that. I love just a feeling of national pride and everyone coming together to celebrate. It's lovely.
It was pretty awesome. We also need to find out what is everybody's favourite fact from this week. Flora, what have you found out?
I found out that a crater on the planet Mercury and a large asteroid have both been named after the composer Beethoven.
Oh, I hope there's no confusion when you're talking about the crater and the asteroid.
probably not.
Michael, how about you?
I found out that a racing pigeon in Belgium has sold for more than £1.4 million at auction, which is a world record.
You know, I actually knew that fact because my uncle races pigeons and had delight in telling me as soon as it happened. Kieran, what about you?
I found out this week that the oldest known piece of cave art dates back 44,000 years, which just seems absolutely incredible.
That is further back than I can even imagine. That's massive. Now it's time for real or rubbish. What story do you have for me to embarrass myself over today, Kieran?
This is something that I think you're going to be heavily invested in, Bex, and it is a dream job that has been advertised to get someone to sit and watch 25 classic Christmas films over the course of 25 days. Now, that's something that I imagine a lot of us do voluntarily anyway. We like to watch a Christmas film during December, but this person, if they get the job, will earn the title of Chief Holiday Cheermeister. And in addition to watching their films, they will be required to then, obviously it's not just, you know, sitting back and watching, you've got to answer questions about each film, you've got to pick your favourite once you've seen them all. And they're going to be watching films including Elf, of course, Home Alone, and The Polar Express. So does this sound true to you, or are we going to be put on the naughty list?
So first of all, I should say I've been watching Christmas films since July, so I think my application letter is already written. What's the actual point of this? To kind of review them and to put it out there as to which is the best one?
I think so. I think they're looking for someone who's going to be able to accurately say which is the best Christmas film, because they will have seen so many of them, of course, and they will have been enjoying that process, so they'll be able to look at it objectively and work out which is really the best Christmas film of all time.
It's hard, though. You do get Christmas fatigue after a while if you watch all of those films in one go. And I'll be honest with you, if I went for that job, I'm pretty sure at the beginning and the end of it, my answer would be the same, Muppet Christmas Carol.
Absolutely.
But I think you're right. I'm very interested in that job. If that job is going, if they're listening and they're you know, looking for somebody. Hang on, I've just thought, though, isn't it? It might not be real. I might just be pitching myself for a job that's not even real. But I like to think, you know, in a world where you can do your dream job, that kind of sounds like my dream job. Maybe it is real. But then I feel like that's ridiculous. Who's going to pay you to watch films? Who's going to really give you some cash to watch some Christmas films? Now, this is when I'm just monologuing and none of you actually answer me. Because, you know,
yeah, I mean, that's the job of a reviewer, Bex.
Yeah, I've just described a film reviewer. Right, okay, well, I'll have a think about that. If the listeners haven't read their copy of the magazine yet, they can make their guess and we can find out together before the end of the show. So now it's time for our three favourite stories from the week. Michael, what is going on in the world for you?
Well, this week we reported on the sad news that Diego Maradona had died at the age of 60. Now, Maradona is someone who a lot of our listeners might have heard of, even if they've never seen him play, because he's widely considered to be one of the greatest football players of all time. He came from Argentina and won the World Cup with them back in 1986. And during that tournament, there was a particularly famous game against England in the quarterfinal where Maradona scored a goal that became known as the Hand of God, where he jumped up and punched the ball over the goalkeeper and essentially scored with his hand. And obviously in football, only the goalkeeper is allowed to touch the ball with their hand, but the referee didn't see it, and so the goal stood. And afterwards, when Maradona was being interviewed, he said that the goal was scored a little bit with the head of Diego and a little bit with the hand of God, which is why the goal has been referred to since then as the hand of God. But also in that game, he scored another goal, which was considered the goal of the century. It was actually voted the goal of the century just before the 2002 World Cup, where he picked up the ball around the halfway line and then pretty much ran past almost the entire England team, including the goalkeeper, and then put the ball into the back of the net. And so in that game, with those two goals, it showed kind of the two sides of Maradona, the side that was maybe a bit cheeky and would bend the rules and cheat a little bit, but also the side that was able to do things with the football that no other player was capable of doing. So as you can imagine, there's been a big reaction to his death in Argentina. The president declared 3 days of national mourning. People gathered outside stadiums where he'd played to lay flowers. But there was also a big reception in Naples in Italy because he went to play for the local club there, Napoli, and helped them to win their first ever league title. And they've said now that they're going to rename their stadium after Maradona. And football players and managers from around the world have paid tribute to him, including the England manager, Gareth Southgate, who we spoke to for the magazine. There's an interview with him in our People page this week. And he said how Maradona was the best player that he'd ever seen. He'd never met him, but watching him play, he said he was without doubt the best player he had ever seen. And also while I was speaking to Gareth Southgate, I got an exclusive clip from him, especially for the Wheat Junior Show podcast, where I asked him which superpower he would like to have. And this is what he had to say.
I mean, to be invisible would be fun, wouldn't it? But you might hear things that you didn't want to hear. So I think for me, it would have been speed. I wasn't a particularly fast player. So if I'd had speed, I think I would have been a top player. And that would have been a great benefit to me during my career.
Michael, I have to ask, you're a massive football fan. What was it like speaking to Gareth Southgate?
It was very exciting. I had to resist the urge to let him know that I am available for England at the Euros next summer if he has any injury concerns. I'm sure, you know, now I've spoken to him once, he knows who to turn to if he needs any advice on team selection or tactics.
Oh, he's got your number, absolutely. Thank you for that so much. That was really exciting to hear Gareth Southgate on the podcast. Thank you for asking him. Flora, what have you found out about?
I was finding out about some ancient art that's been found in the Amazon rainforest. So this is in Colombia, in South America. The largest collection of prehistoric rock art has been discovered. And these paintings, they feature giant sloths, Ice Age horses, as well as mastodons, which is a relative of the elephant. And they are all around 12,600 years old, which obviously is pretty old. And they're all drawn along these cliff faces on the northern edge of the Amazon rainforest, which stretch for nearly 8 miles. And they were discovered, or they've been analysed by archaeologists at the University of Antioquia in Colombia, which is their national university, and also the University of Exeter in England. And archaeologists are experts who study ancient man-made objects to help us understand more about history. And they've said that these paintings are an amazing way to have an insight into a culture and a civilization that existed so long ago. And the really exciting thing is that these paintings are going to be broadcast on Channel 4 in a programme called Jungle Mystery, Lost Kingdoms of the Amazon, on 12th of December. So if you want to take a break from your 25 Christmas films or whatever it is to watch those paintings, I'm sure it'll be a really incredible thing to see.
That's amazing. It's incredible that it's lasted that long and that it's been preserved so well we can still see it.
And the pictures are amazing too.
Kieran, tell me, what have you been finding out about?
I've been finding out about something that we touched on last week as well, but there is new information about it, and that is how we're going to be able to celebrate Christmas this year. So this week, the UK government have set out new rules for what traditional festive activities can and can't take place in England, including nativity plays and carol singing. And as we went to press this week, the governments in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland were still considering their own approach. So a lot of this is just about what's happening in England, but it might give us some idea as to what might be happening in other parts of the country as well. So excitingly for keen carol singers in England, you will be able to go caroling this year. You can go out in a group of up to 6 people, as long as you stay 2 metres apart from each other, unless you're with someone from your same household. And you have to stay at least 2 metres away from the front door of anyone that you go up to carol sing to as well. And indoor carol services will also be taking place, but only the choirs will be able to sing in that case. So if you usually go along to a carol service and get out the book and sing along, sadly that won't be possible this year, but you will still be able to hear the music. Santa's grottos are able to open as long as the social distancing measures in place. And if you're in a part of England that is in tier 1 or tier 2, so those are the lower two of the 3 tiers that are in England, you'll be able to attend nativity plays in person. If you're in tier 3, then you can't, but you can still watch a live stream of it, of course. And again, if you're in one of the lower 2 tiers, and you've got a school nativity, you would be able to do a performance as long as you stuck to your school bubble and avoided mixing across groups. And then, of course, the big day itself, the 25th of December, Christmas Day, between the 23rd and 27th, as we said last week, up to 3 households can form a Christmas bubble to celebrate anywhere in the UK. But this is just a sort of a representation of what the rules might be in other parts of the country. Rules vary across the UK depending on what nation you live in and what region you live in, so it's always worth checking your local rules before you set out to do your Christmas shopping or anything like that, but hopefully we'll find out very soon what the rules are for carols and nativities and Christmas dinners in other parts of the country very, very soon.
Personally, I was looking forward to not having carol singers this year because I find it really awkward. But there we go. They are still on the go. So if you're a caroler, that is perfect for you. And now it's time for the big debate. This week, we're asking if a world leader's age matters. Who can tell me a bit more?
I can. This debate was inspired by the election of Joe Biden, who is going to become the President of the United States on the 20th of January next year. And he will be 78. He's going to be 78 years old when he becomes leader. And that is going to be the oldest president in the US's history. Presidential candidates in the US have to be at least 35 years old when they become president. But there is no upper age limit. Last year, in December of last year, Sanna Marin became the world's youngest serving prime minister when she was elected to become Finland's leader at the age of 34. And in the UK, the average age of members of parliament is around 50 years old. So we just want to know whether the age of a leader affects their ability to lead.
Very interesting debate. So this will be Michael versus Flora. First up, we're going to challenge Michael to say why he thinks a world leader's age does matter. So guys, do you have a timing device nearby?
Yeah.
I do.
Excellent. So do I. So Michael, whenever you're ready, take it away.
So I think a world leader's age does matter because older politicians could be more out of touch with the world than younger ones. It can take a very long time to get to the top job in politics. And by the time you've done that, you could be disconnected with what is actually happening in people's everyday lives. Whereas younger politicians are more aware of the change that is needed for future generations. And age is no guarantee of wisdom. Just because you're old, it doesn't necessarily mean you'll be wise. There could be plenty of young people who know just as much and who might be better for the job. And being a world leader is a very tough and demanding job, both physically and mentally. There's lots of strains and stresses. It's very fast-paced, very demanding. And so you need that the energy that being young can bring in order to do the job properly. World leaders need to be at their peak, both mentally and physically. And the older you get, you might not be up to the demands and the requirements of the job. So I think certainly a world leader's age does matter and is something that both politicians and voters should have to consider.
Oh, lovely stuff. Well argued and well within the time. And you know me, Michael, I'm a big fan of that. So thank you. Flora, so whenever you're ready, it's up to you to say why you disagree with Michael.
In our society, we tend to judge people based on really obvious or superficial things like their voice, their clothes, what they look like, how they carry themselves, and their age. Whether young or old, we've only talked so far about the upper age limit of leaders, but what about the youngest leaders? And just as there is nothing so annoying as being told, you're too young or wait until you're older, it's equally silly to tell someone they're too old. How many years you have lived does not necessarily correspond to your ability or your experience. Some people who have very adventurous lives live the equivalent of 30 years before they are 10, while others who have very boring lives may turn 80 with only 10 or 11 years of real experience. We should judge our leaders on the quality of their minds, their ability to lead and present as a statesman or stateswoman, not the number of years they have lived.
Lovely stuff. Kieran, what do you reckon?
Two very well-argued cases, I would say, but I think I'm going to have to agree with Michael on this particular occasion, because I think somebody's age does matter, particularly around how well they can connect to the people who voted for them and how similar their experiences will be to the people that they're representing.
I think I agree. Even with the lower limit, I think it's good to have a lower limit as well as maybe an upper limit. But this is something our listeners can let us know what they think about. So go and respond to the poll right now. Go to theweekjunior.co.uk/polls or email your thoughts to hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. Or you could video yourself explaining which side of the debate you support and why, and we might play it out on next week's show. So last week, we debated on the podcast whether virtual events are as good as the real thing. And in our poll, it was a landslide. A whopping 87% of you voted no, compared to the 13% who voted yes. So here are some of your comments.
Noor emailed to say, I think virtual parties can be just as good as real ones, because it's easy to join in without having to travel anywhere, which also helps the environment because of the emission of carbon dioxide. And you can still spend time with friends and family.
Our pop jammers were less convinced. One person wrote, no, it doesn't compare. Seeing people face to face is more fun as you can play games together, for example, tag and hide and seek. But virtual meetings are better than nothing, especially during this time. Another added, no, because seeing people is one thing, but being with them is another thing altogether, as it's better as you can interact with them.
another pop jammer told us, no, they are second best. Virtual events aren't experiencing the real thing, but they are better than nothing and interesting to try. And finally, this listener wrote, I don't think so, because virtual events use electricity and using electricity doesn't help the environment. Also, virtual events just don't feel the same as joining in with an event physically.
I love our listeners so much. So remember, this is your chance to get involved and tell us what you think of the debate. Grab a grown-up and record a video telling us what you reckon and send it in to us at hello@theweekjunior.co.uk and we could play it out on next week's show. You could hear your voice here on the podcast. So now it's time to recap our real or rubbish story. Kieran, just remind me what it was again.
This is the fact that a chief holiday cheermeister is being recruited to watch 25 classic Christmas films in 25 days and then picking their favourite once they're finished.
You know what? So thinking about this, I would like to be called a cheermeister. I think that would be a lovely title to give myself. I've got a bit of time on my hands right now. I love hosting this podcast, but you know, I could work around it and I could watch some Christmas films and give my reviews. So I'm going to say it's real. I'm going to say somewhere out there, somebody has got the dream job of watching Home Alone, Elf, Muppet Christmas Carol, Miracle on 34th Street. I'm going to say this week, the story is real.
You're saying it's real and you're the best person.
Yes, that was my pitch. As
Double whammy, two answers.
That was my job application and that was my answer to your question.
Well, let's see whether you've got the job. Can we get a drum roll, please?
Yeah.
It's real!
Yes!
Hooray! Yes, the chief holiday cheermeister is being recruited. They will be paid around £2,075, very specific. And once they've completed their role, they will also receive annual passes for 7 different video streaming services.
Sign me up. I think I said that was real just because I kind of like wanted to positively bring it to life. I'm thrilled with that. I got it right. And I've got a new job to apply to. Brilliant. That's it for the Week Junior Show this week. Goodbye to Flora.
Bye-bye.
To Michael.
Goodbye.
And Kieran.
Bye.
Remember, drop us a comment on PopJam at The Week Junior or email hello@theweekjunior.co.uk. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you get your podcasts. Bye.
If you want to get your hands on a copy of The Week Junior magazine, we're offering a 6-week free trial. To get yours, head over to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and use the code PODCAST.